Hey everybody, this is Johnny Gioeli talking to you about my brand new solo album called One Voice that you can check out with the most awesome place on earth, Sonic Perspectives. Crank it up, baby.
Another interview of Sonic Perspectives. I am Rodrigo Altaf, and today I'll be talking to an old friend of our website, Mr. Johnny Gioeli. Johnny, how are you today, man?
Rodrigo, man, I am doing wonderful, brother. How about yourself?
Good, good. Great to have you here, man, in our show.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I always love being with you. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Appreciate the support.
Well, last time we spoke, it was summer. You know, it was about 4 or 5 months ago when you were promoting the Gioeli Castronovo album to be released. We had the sun up. Today, we have a couple of feet of snow here, so...
Whoa!
Yeah.
Yeah, we have we have the yard pretty white over here, too. It's cold, and there was quite a contrast from when we first spoke.
I know, yeah. Well, since then, I saw Dean here in Toronto with the Dead Daisies, and I'm so happy to see him in such a good shape, man. He didn't sing any leads then, but, you know, he kicked ass nonetheless.
Yeah, man, he's an ass kicker, so there's no question about that.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Well, he is amazing.
I think when we spoke, you already had your solo album in the works at the time, from memory. I actually did mention that in the interview at some point, but I understand that your new effort has a very noble purpose of helping out a friend called Joe Barber, right?
Yes. So the whole, you know, solo album, first of all, for anyone who knows me, you know, I've been in the music business over 30 years. I have over 50 albums released worldwide with all the projects like Axel Rudi Pell and Hardline and Crush 40 and other projects that I've worked on with other artists. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought about doing a solo record. I'm kind of, you know, I'm a band guy, I'm a team guy. So what happened was this young man, Joe Barber, in my hometown here in Connecticut, I got a call that he was in an accident where he was diving and he hit a rock and he cracked his spinal cord and is paralyzed from the chest down. And it was so shocking to me because he's a close family friend and in my community. And the community came together, you know, emotionally and financially. And I just said, I have to do something different. And because I'm obviously a little different. Most musicians are a little different. And I wanted to do something outside the box. So I said, you know what, I'm going to make an album and I want it to be charitable and I don't want to be the star. The hardest thing about this whole release is that everyone's like, oh, Johnny, one voice, Johnny. And I want the focus on Joe and on spinal cord, you know, injury awareness and, you know, just to do my part in helping a family friend the best I can. So it all happened after this accident when I had the idea to combine Frontiers Records with a Pledge Music campaign, and the Pledge Music campaign being the driver of charitable donations to help this young man. And so in doing so, I engaged with fans all around the world who were so lovingly generous to donate to help Joe. So a lot of people don't know that in the lifetime of someone with a spinal cord injury, it can cost well above $8 million.
Jesus.
Just to exist, man. So, you know, when you're having a bad day and you get out of bed and you're having a bad day and you're pissed because you got to warm the car up because it's cold outside or the coffee maker broke or whatever, you got to step back. And it's been life-changing for me. You got to step back and you got to look at all the things that are right in your life. Like, you can move your fingers, you can move your toes, you can get out of bed, you can shower yourself, you can dress yourself. You know, these things that, you know, in life we tend to get so caught up in all the things that are not important in our life that we overlook the simplest things, like being able to hold a pen or a pencil. He can't. So yeah. It's been life-changing for me. So fans all around the world, and I mean every part of the world. You know, speaking for the United States, we tend to look at different areas in fault, we tend to look at different areas of the world as like bad places. Like you think, ooh, Afghanistan. Ooh, my God, Baghdad. Oh, my God, Iran. Ooh, let me tell you something. We got more donations from these places than I did in my own country.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, which tells you that wonderful, loving, beautiful people exist everywhere. So this thing grew for me from like making a solo album to help a kid into me realizing and engaging with fans from every part of this incredible world. So this has been big for me, man, and life-changing for me. So I'm very proud of the music. I'm proud of the charity. I'm proud to to promote this positive passion that I have towards giving back. I think everyone should do something in their life that's bigger than them. It doesn't have to be massive. Just do something that's bigger than yourself, and man, it feels great. So anyway.
Sure, sure. For me, it's amazing how something beautiful came from a tragedy, you know?
And yeah,
I wanted to ask you, who are the other musicians with you in this project?
So I have my trusted engineer, mixer, producer, Alessandro, who is the hardline keyboard player. So Alessandro handled production for me. He also played some keys, but there's not a lot of keys on this album. It's not that kind of album. Mm-hmm. Nick Mazzucconi, who I call Nick Macaroni, I always tease him, is on bass. He is the Europe's top bass player. He's incredible. He played bass. We have Marco Di Salvia on drums. He is now the new hardline drummer. Once I started playing with all these guys, it's like I wanted them in the hardline band. Gotta find it. So Marco plays drums. Also, Dean Castronovo played on one track. Dean played on the song called Deeper, which is the one ballad on the album.
Oh, okay.
He did an incredible job. One take. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we also have my trusted writing partner, Eric Gaidrix. Now, Eric is a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania-born guy, and now he lives on the West Coast out in California. And he really inspired me with a lot of music pieces that he wrote and sent to me. I met him online, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. And so Eric Gaidrix handles all guitars, and he is a phenomenal talent. He was in a band in the 90s called Raquel, and I don't know if listeners know of that band. And but he's an amazing talent. So me on vocals, of course, and that's the band.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a guitar-driven album, but at the same time, the guitar tones are not overbearing and leave all the instruments to shine a little bit and your voice to soar, of course.
That's it, brother.
Yes.
Yeah,
does that sound like a good description of what you guys try to achieve? Yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. And, and Eric is he's one of those guitar players that doesn't overplay. There isn't all these big, wicked solos in there. He plays for the song. And all the musicians that participated played for the song to make sure that the message came across and the feel came across. So, yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly right. There's beautiful guitar work. You got to listen carefully. I mean, there's some beautiful, beautiful. I still listen to this record almost daily, certain songs, and I'm blown away with how cool, the guitar work is and the musicianship. So I'm proud of it. I'm proud.
Well, I read somewhere that the album has been dubbed the feel good album of the 21st century, and it certainly lives up to that description, man. At least in my book.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, I was so shocked. I don't remember exactly who wrote that, who said that, but it was a big journalist, and I was like, whoa, yeah, because that's what I wanted to achieve. Mm. I didn't want to build a concept album or, depth in the lyrics where you had to break out your dictionary to understand. I wanted to make a feel-good, turn this thing up loudly in your car and just enjoy some positive, uplifting, good rock and roll. I didn't reinvent anything, bro. It's just me.
Yeah.
I didn't reinvent the new sound. It's just a great feel-good record, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, the very first song, Drive, I think it gave me chills straight away. And I noticed something. Ooh. Yeah, well, intentionally or not, at the very beginning, there's a chord progression there that, I heard elsewhere in the Who song, Bob O'Reilly. Was that on purpose or by accident?
No, but I've never even heard that correlation before. Now I'm going to have to listen back. No, no, all these songs were written from note number one and lyric number one. Mm-hmm. And no, wow, that's wild, man. I'm going to have to listen to that. So Drive, the reason Drive is first is I wanted to sort of set the stage for, you know, the lyrics, come on and drive, take me away, leave all that S-H-I-T for another day. I just wanted people to say, okay, let's put all this stuff aside. Let's get back to the days where we were not checking email and texts at a red light, and let's just turn the music up and escape and get a feeling. You know what I mean? That's why that song is number one on the album to lead off the all the other tracks.
Yeah. Well, for your album with Dean, you guys use outside lyricists and writers, but this time I think you've taken care of that yourself, or you had very little help, or
no,
that was my
impression. No, I wrote every single word, every single melody, everything, and Eric worked with me on all the musical compositions. So he wrote all musical compositions, and we worked together to build the entire album. There's no outside songwriting. There's nothing. It's all us.
Okay. On the second song, It, you asked the listener, what is it that moves you? I found that question rather unusual coming from you, because you have such a strong drive and seem to have a hyperactive kind of mind.
So the basis for that song is I am very passionate about who I am and who I want to be and who I've been. And so it's really, it's a song of a question. What is it that moves you? So for me, man, like if I'm walking in the forest and I'm watching nature, I get a feeling. So, you know, we're all different. Obviously, we're all made differently. And I was just simply asking the question, what is it? What is it for you when you're, you know, I don't know, it could be riding your bicycle, you know, through the city and that, you know, and whatever. It was just, that song was built on a question. And, you know, I asked a lot of the fans in the campaign, in the pledge campaign, what is, when I was writing the song, what is it for you? And I got the most amazing replies, from very simple replies to very intense reply. So it was just, you know, the album is to make you open your mind and just kind of reflect, not only just musically, but just, you know, look at your life and look at these and these simple questions and simple feelings and just enjoy it. So that's what that song's about.
Yeah. And another song I loved, especially the guitar work and the bass was deeper, that you just touched on. It seems that Nick used a fretless bass on that one, right?
He did. Yeah. Nick is an amazing, amazing. And you know what, bro? He cut that track nearly perfect in one take. He's so brilliant. And, you know, playing a fretless bass is very difficult. You got to be right on the note or it's out of tune. You know what I mean? Because there's no frets, obviously. He destroyed on that song. And Deeper itself, again, another simple message. I'm falling deeper. Deeper, can't crawl out, can't climb out. I'm falling deeper, you know, with you. So, and with you is not necessarily a person. It's whatever is making you feel, you know, that overwhelming love that you are just falling deeper and deeper. So I love that tune. I listen to it all the time.
And of course, then we have the amazing title track. Did you write this one in connection with what happened to Joe, or did you already have that theme in mind or the lyrics in mind beforehand?
No. As a matter of fact, that song was not in place when I started. It came to me actually coming – this is crazy, man, I know. But it came to me coming out of a dream. I was waking up. You know how sometimes your mind just starts going a little different directions when you're waking up, because you're like, okay, I got to get up, and what's my day going to be like? What do I got to do? And blah, blah, blah. The whole song title and, you know, basis for One Voice happened when I woke up. It all connected for me. I went, wait a minute. All of the pledgers, all the people involved, the record company, the fans, everyone, you, everyone, we are one voice. When we're together, we're strong. When we are together, when we're on the same page, we are strong and we are one voice. And then I started singing melody into my phone, And then I sent it to Eric. I said, Eric, this is what I hear musically, and explained it. And that night, the song was done.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole concept came together, and it just it's like someone, you know, a much higher power than myself put it in my brain. So that's what happened there.
Oh, cool. And, well, the last time we spoke, we touched on Hardline and the first couple of albums a little bit, Double Eclipse and all that. And it seems you have another album planned with the release date not yet announced. Is that true?
Okay. Yes. I can't tell a lie. Yes, it's true. As a matter of fact, it's already recorded. It's absolutely amazing, and will release sometime in April. But that's all I know right now. That's up to the record company. But it is a phenomenal album, and there is a surprise song on it, which I can tell you. Since the movie was just released, I was moved to do a dedication to Freddie Mercury. I think he's one of my favorite singers and entertainers, and we did a remake of Who Wants to Live Forever.
Oh my God.
And it is intense, bro. It's you know, I sing it the way I sing. I'm not trying to beat Freddie. I'm not trying to overtake him, or nor would I ever want to, you know, try to replace him, you know, fit in his shoes. It's a dedication to him as an artist, as an amazing entertainer, and I've always loved that song. So that's one song on the album, and the rest of the album is awesome. I will tell you, it's called Life, L-I-F-E, Life. And one of the main songs that inspired the album title is called Page of Your Life. And again, I think, you know, now that I'm getting a little older, you start looking back on your life and you start thinking, okay, was I good? Was I bad? Was I a jerk? Was I nice? You know, and you look back, and because you want to make sure that you live the second half of your life differently if you weren't happy with the first half.
Yeah, for sure.
So and so this album, it's called Life, and it's quite amazing, and that will be out in the springtime sometime.
Oh, very cool. And I need to ask you, since you touched on Freddie Mercury, what's your take on the movie that just came out, man? Have you watched it yet, or?
I saw parts of it. So I have it, as a matter of fact, this weekend I'm gonna go check it out.
Yeah, same here.
When I started seeing the trailers and the little thing, that's what, you know, inspired me. And then I just saw a really killer special. I'm just off a tour. I was just in Europe, and I saw a whole – it was actually in German, but you could kind of hear them speaking English underneath. I watched a whole Freddie Mercury special, and I was just so inspired and blown away. I mean, that's just – he was just such a true talent and – amazing. But I'm hoping to see the movie this weekend.
Same here. We're planning for that as well. So what's the plan for Axel Rudi Pell after Night's Call? I, you know, I was watching a show of you guys did the Rock Palace Festival earlier this year, and the band is sounding amazing, right?
Thanks, man. Yeah. We are preparing what we're calling a best of tour. There's talks of a best of album, and the tour, which we have tentatively scheduled for March and a little bit into April, will happen, but that'll be a European tour. And then Axel will begin writing the next record. I think we are going to do some summer shows, some big, you know, festival shows and some headlining shows. And then, so at the end of this, at the end of summer 2019, Night's Call will end, and then we'll start working on the brand new record. So, we're busy.
Well, it seems the biggest market for Axel Rudi Pell is actually the festival circuit in Europe. You must meet a ton of big names in the industry there in those festivals, right? Any curious encounters you could tell us about, or?
Yeah, you know, actually, and not to correct you, but the festival shows are awesome. Don't get me wrong, but they're a little uncontrolled. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, you jump up there and the sound is what the sound is. That's what you get, and you just make the best of it. Although we love playing to, you know, 25 to 50 to 100,000 people, we also love doing our smaller venue shows of, you know, 800 to 3,000 or 5,000. And, you know, those are really fun because they're more intimate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But No, you know, we do what we do, and we don't really think about, you know, who else is on the bill. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've played shows with Scorpions, and we've played with, you know, I mean, Aerosmith, and, you know, the biggest of the big. And we just do what we do, man, and have a great time. We play those songs. The fans love it. We love it. We sweat. You know, and then we eat sandwiches after the show, for sure.
Well, is there any musician who would be starstruck at this point, if and when you met him or her?
You know what? I was once. I got to tell you, honest to God, I was in England. This was going way back, and I met Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
And he's huge, man. He's like really tall. I'm 6 feet tall, but he's like really tall. Like I thought I was gonna walk into his chest. And when I met him, when I saw him, it was so surreal for me. It was like, wait a minute. It was like it was a ghost standing there. So Stevie Wonder for sure. When I met him, got to shake his hand. That was an absolute thrill. And then the second was Brian May from Queen, because we, back in Hardline, we played Wembley, a couple nights at Wembley, and so like Roger Daltrey was there, and Brian May was there, and and just to be sitting in the catering room and having a sandwich, my wife was sitting talking to him, and I'm just going, wait, that's just really, that's Brian May. I mean, that's Brian, that's Queen, that's Brian May.
Uh-huh.
You know, so yeah, bro. I mean, you know, believe me, when I meet these guys, I get little, you know, goosebumps, man,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your work with Crush 40 a little bit. You described it as writing a soundtrack for a film. Do you find that the same kind of fan of your more traditional music endeavors are fans of what you do with Crush 40 as well? It seems to be like different target audiences, right?
Well, I thought it was, you know, and at first it was. And then, you know, when you have a fan that loves you and loves your music, they tend to branch out. So mm-hmm. what has happened, I thought it was going to be very kind of, you know, sort of segregated in stylistically. But no, Crush 40 fans are now buying Axel Rudy music, and, you know, Axel Rudy fans buying Hardline music. It's all just kind of meshing together, because I think they've just, you know, become fans of me and music,
mm-hmm.
just accepting all different, you know, styles of music, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's it started out that way, exactly as you said, because I remember reading, you know, socially with the fans saying, wow, Johnny actually sings in this band called Hardline, you know, and that's when I knew it was going to start all crossing, you know what I mean? And and now it's like any Crush 40 fan knows that I'm in Hardline, knows I'm in Axel Rudy Pell. So it's really, really cool. And I sign all of those CDs for everyone, and that's when I really know. It's like, oh wow, you got the Axel Rudy. Oh, you got the Crush 40. Oh, you got the Hardline. Oh, you know. So it's cool, man. It's really, really cool.
Good on you for cross pollinating, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
In my own unique flower.
Yeah, sure. And with so many endeavors, how do you plan your time, man? I mean, you have family too, and I imagine at some point you have to put all these projects in a piece of paper or in a spreadsheet and decide what to do, right? What to tackle from now on, right?
Yeah, it can be a little challenging. So the key to my life is balance. So I'm a little bit of what we call an oxymoron rock guy. Mm-hmm. I get up very early, where a normal musician says, heck with that, I'm going to sleep in.
Yeah.
I like getting up early, because that's when I feel most creative, and it's quiet in the house, everyone's sleeping, and so that works for me. So the key for me is balance. But as you can probably hear in my voice, I've got a lot of energy, so I use that energy to balance all these projects and be very organized and do the best I can. I mean, I could. There are so many, so many more musical opportunities that come my way, but I can't. I want to do a great job, and so I can't do everything, you know. So I just make sure that I have enough time for music, enough time for family, enough time for myself, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the way I roll, man. I'm pretty, you know, pretty structured with my days. I know what I want to accomplish in a day, and I just attack, man.
Uh-huh.
Morning, and I just go until I drop, which I drop pretty early. Man. my family laughs at me because I'm like 8 p.m. and I'm starting to fall asleep. It's just because I'm going all day, man, going hard.
Well, going back to the new album, One Voice, would there be time for you to tour and promote it at some point in time, or?
Well, yeah. So 2019 is when I'm going to focus the touring effort. You know,
okay.
Right now I got to get the word out. I want everyone to please be charitable. I want everyone to enjoy the music. And starting summer of 2019 is when we'll get really serious about playing shows. And I've already done a bunch of solo shows. They're very successful because I can play, you know, some Axl songs, I can play Hardline songs, I can play Crush songs, and I can play One Voice songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it for a really colorful musical show. So we're definitely planning to do a One Voice tour. I just don't know exactly when and exactly where yet. We'll see. You know, we have some really exciting news that One Voice, myself and Joe, may be on Good Morning America, which is a very, very, very large morning news show for America.
Yeah.
And if that happens, bro, I think
it's gonna take off. Yeah,
yeah. things are gonna. My plan might change quickly.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see what happens. But for right now, I'm just doing everything I can to make sure that Joe is the focus. I don't want to be the star in this. I want Joe to be the star, and I want the people to enjoy the music, and hopefully they will.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out for future tour dates, man.
And, yeah, man.
Well, the last time we spoke, you seemed a bit disheartened with what's going on in America. So if you're ever thinking of moving to Canada, like you said before, I'm still here.
Okay? Right on, bro. Believe me, we think about it. You know, that's the first thing Americans say when we get pissed, like, oh, we're moving to Canada. Poor Canadians, they don't want us. They're like, no, stay where the hell you are.
We do. There's a place for you here, man. I said it last time. There still is.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Well, thanks for your time today, man. And let's pick a song off the new album to be played at the end of the interview.
That sounds good, man. Why don't we go with the title track so everyone can get the vibe of what I'm trying to do and how grateful I am for everyone's support, love, humanitarian efforts, charitable efforts. So why don't we play One Voice so everyone can get the feeling of this album?
Sure. Sounds good. Thank you for your time again, and take care, man.
You got it, bro. I'll be talking to you about that Hardline record next, man. So
definitely.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Talking to you when it warms up outside. How about
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, all preferably.
Right,
all right. Take care, man.
You too, brother. Talk
Thanks.
To you soon.
Bye-bye. That's it, guys. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this interview with Johnny Joelli. As always, we ask you to subscribe to our podcast just so you're up to speed on all our interviews and our Talking Perspectives podcast. I also invite you to like us on Facebook and Twitter, and check us out on www.sonicperspectives.com. We're going to leave you now with the title track of Joelli's solo album, One Voice. Take care and rock on!
Stand by me always. With you I everything. Not a word I sing can be without your air. You're my hero when I need you there.
voice.